Heterodorks, heterodox dorks.
4, 1, 7.
Let's 12.
Just call out numbers.
I like 36.
That one. Not that one so much.
56. That's how old I'm going to be.
That's a great number.
56 is a good number? Well, that's going to be my age for a whole year.
We should honor people who are age 56.
Okay, great. In just a couple weeks, that can begin.
What do you want for your birthday, Nina?
World peace.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's imminent.
You mean something actually possible for my birthday? I hadn't thought of that.
If people aren't fighting with each other, there'll be world peace. And if there's no people, they won't fight with each other.
Oh, that's true. That's one way to achieve world peace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Careful what you wish for. Yeah, all right. If the world ends soon, it's because of my stupid birthday wish. Sorry, everybody.
God. Thanks, Nina. Typical.
I'll try to ask for something more harmless.
I gotta tell you, I'm very excited about some of our upcoming recordings.
Yeah, we have an amazing roster of guests.
We do. I have to get back to that one, though.
Which one?
Well, I'll tell you after we finish recording.
Okay, that one. Yeah, we have to keep it all secret until the episodes come out.
That's right. But speaking of guests, we were guests. We were guests for Meg and Dom.
Yes, we were at the Unspeakeasy in Louisville, Kentucky, and it was quite awesome and fun and great.
Well, we were both there, but I was only there for a part of the time. Do you remember that we met this nice lady in Denver named Belissa Cohen?
Yes, I do remember Belissa Cohen.
And she and I had a very pleasant conversation because her last name is Cohen. Mine is Cohn, right?
Yeah, you're Cohanes. You're a priest. You're the priestly class or priestly tribe, caste. I don't know. It's hereditary.
Well, we're descendants, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about God's plan, but I don't think it's, hey, the son of the priest should also be a priest.
I'm pretty sure that's God's plan.
Seem like it's a very good plan.
Well, that was God's plan in the Old Testament. Exactly that.
Well, I have some criticisms of that plan.
Take it to God.
Because sometimes sons end up doing stupid things, let me tell you.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, kids always do exactly what their parents want.
So we had this very nice conversation. She's an activist in California. She's doing a lot of street work, and not in the way that the women do street work in my neighborhood, Nina, but in a way where they hold signs and try to attract attention, but not the way they do it in my neighborhood.
Right. You have a drum kit now, so you can do, what's it called? Is that called a rim shot? The ba-dum-tsh.
Oh, I could do a rim shot, yeah.
Yeah, now that you're a drummer.
Not a drum rim shot. So I had this great conversation with her. And we don't see eye to eye about everything, because one of the things that she disagrees about is that I'm a walking homunculus dressed in a woman's suit who is manipulating people into a state of unreality, whereas I see myself as somebody who's been medically experimented on with cross-sex medications and surgery. And I guess it's hard to reconcile those two types of worldviews.
Yeah. Didn't she say flesh suit?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So we had actually tried to invite her as a guest to Heterodorks, which she has declined to do until I have surgically modified my body so that it has a resemblance to that of a typical man's body.
Yeah, you have to masculinize your feminized male body.
Right. Right. And despite my typical wardrobe of gender neutral clothing, typically, I probably have to wear, I don't know, I'd say lumberjack clothing, but we know where that leads.
Where does that lead?
To cross dressing. It's just circular. It just goes, are you not familiar with the lumberjack song?
I'm totally familiar with it.
Okay, but yeah. So wearing, you know where that goes.
Wearing lumberjack clothing doesn't make you a lumberjack.
Next, you're going to say that wearing women's clothing doesn't make me a woman.
I know. That's that's very radical. Nor does it necessarily even make you a man wearing a woman flesh suit.
Well, a certain amount of butchery will get you there, though. It's just, it doesn't stay fresh.
I like how you
Do you know how hard it is to preserve flesh?
I like the word butchery, because you're butchery. Talking about two kinds of butchery, right? There's, you know, the butchery of your body having bits cut off. But then yes. Also the butch performance, you could call that butchery.
Yes, my butch performance.
Yes, so butching up with butchery.
Yes, butching it up with Nina and Corinna.
Butcher, the butcher shop.
I think I have the episode title.
Yeah, well, I was really looking forward to having her on because I know that she's not the only person that wants you to detransition. And
yes.
I want to know what that means. What does it mean for Corinna to detransition? What are the parts of it? Yeah. Like what is that? I mean, transgender is hard to define or impossible to define. I suppose gender identity is impossible to define. So what does detransitioning mean? Can we define that?
I suppose we should try. But already this episode is off to a fairly circuitous path. So let me briefly say, hey, TERFs and trannies, you're listening to Hetero Dorks. My name is Corinna Cohn, a person who is told I ought to detransition.
And my name is Nina Paley. I'm a person who is often told to die in a fire.
You're also often told to get a boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, I sure am. People are telling me to get a boyfriend. And yeah, I don't want to.
It would be a pity if you were to die in a fire right after you met the man of your dreams.
That would be a pity for anyone, really, to die in a fire.
It'd be a pity for the man in your dreams. What a loss.
It would be a pity for you also if you met the man of your dreams and then died in a fire. Really, I think dying in a fire is a pity, and meeting the man of your dreams just before that just adds to the tragedy. So good job. Good job writing this scenario.
Nina, welcome to 2024, when dying in a fire is actually a courageous form of counter-protest.
True. If I die in a fire that I light myself, if I die in my own woman flesh suit that I set fire to.
So we had a wonderful trip to Louisville for the Unspeakeasy, despite a very brief campaign by our perhaps future friend, Melissa Cohen, trying to get people to not attend it because I was invited as your number two, I guess. Wait, that's not a good way of putting it.
You don't want to talk about your plus my number one. Two. Yeah.
No. as your co-speaker by the hostess herself, but nevertheless, despite this public relations campaign against this particular instance of the Unspeakeasy, I thought it went pretty well.
It went great. And there was another man who spoke the next day.
Wow. Is there no such thing as a sex-segregated space any longer?
Well, I don't think the Unspeakeasy is a sex-segregated space in terms of speakers.
It's
sex-segregated in terms of attendees, but not for speakers, which is why they had two different men speaking.
Wow.
Our little retreat. Now, there is an Unspeakeasy coming up that is going to be co-ed, the first of its kind. So,
in Chicago.
Yeah.
June.
Yeah. They'll see how that goes. I will not be there, but I hope it's lots of fun, and I'm eager to hear how it goes.
Well, if I don't drag my feet too much, maybe this episode will be out before June.
I hope so. Now, for those who want completely sex-segregated events, there is Rise on the Land coming up the first weekend in August, last week of July, June, July. I'm like trying to make sure my months follow the correct way. And that's yes. for adult human females only and their children up to a certain age. But it's not for males, even males wearing a woman flesh suit like you.
I have been looking into resuscitating Camp Trans so that me and my sisters can put up some tents and have pillow fights and do each other's hair and paint each other's fingernails while shaking violent implements of intimidation outside of the land where the real women are going to be.
Yeah. And then you can go murder people in Berkeley. That's the full Camp Trans experience.
Yeah. There for other reasons, I just don't want to go to Berkeley.
I've been to Berkeley enough, I think.
I have not converted to Judaism, but it's bad enough having a name like mine to be in the vicinity of Berkeley. It's just too dangerous.
Oh, man. What is there even more going on there that I don't know about?
Oh, it's just antics all the time, Nina. Hmm. The level of anti-Semitism, open, unironic anti-Semitism in this country, largely on the left, not wholly, but largely on the left, is just shocking.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-boggling. Most of my life I said, you know, I didn't grow up with anti-Semitism, and I don't really get all this worrying about anti-Semitism. And anti-Semitism seemed like a thing of the past. So joke's on me in 2024, or I guess end of 2023. Yeah. I never expected this.
Do you know who the biggest victims are, though, Nina?
Of anti-Semitism?
Of this whole current movement. It's the people who have principled disagreements and criticisms of the Israeli state who no longer will be able to have their concerns taken seriously because their whole movement has been co-opted by unironic, unabashed anti-Semites.
So how do the Jewish Voice for Peace people, and I mean, there are a number of Jews who are, for lack of a better word, pro-Palestinian or pro-ceasefire or very anti-Zionist, like perhaps anti-Zionist to the point where they would like Israel to cease to exist. And they are Jews. So I wonder how they're feeling about the anti-Semitism. It's like they're the good Jews. They're like they just let it roll off their backs because they feel like they're different and the anti-Semites aren't talking about them.
Yeah, I don't know about these pro-peace groups or anti-Zionist groups, Nina. I'm not sure how to characterize them, except that I think their only plan is to relocate the Jews about 50 miles west of their current locations in Israel.
Into the sea.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's, I forgot. There's a huge body of water there where people can't live.
Yeah. Now, I don't think anybody has any viable solutions to anything. Like, I don't see any human solution gonna happen. No. So I indulge in the luxury of not living in the region, and
that's a luxury.
It is a luxury for a Jew. Yes. Wow.
Oh, for a Jew. Okay.
Yeah. I despair of people who think that they have an answer. or who feel certain. It's the level of certainty that people seem to have that I'm skeptical of. I'm not certain of anything. But I also realize that if everyone were like me, then actually there's no way everyone could be like me. But I understand in times of trouble and heated times that people are supposed to pick a position and scream with the tribe, because the more you scream, the more you'll get what you want, which is why blocking traffic in, where was the traffic block? I mean, I know it's been
everywhere. You know, what's really interesting is, so on the April 15th, there was this, it's bad enough that we have to pay taxes by that day. I don't know if you did, Nina. I did.
I did before. Yeah. I set my taxes in way before.
Yeah, me too. Way, way, way before, several hours.
Good job.
Thank you. Everything apart from the fact that I owed taxes, everything was okay. So it's bad enough that people have to pay taxes that day. They had a global shutdown, which is basically a tiny number of very entitled young people, mostly going and sitting down and blocking traffic. And you know this Senator Tom Cotton. Where's he from? I feel like it's right at the tip of my tongue. Arkansas, I think.
Alabama. Someplace where they grow cotton.
Someplace. Oh yeah. So Egypt.
Tom Cotton.
From Egypt.
From Egypt. Okay.
Senator Egypt had tweeted something like, "Hey, this is how these protesters should be treated," and he retweeted a video from, I think it was Spain or France, of the protesters being dragged out of the street. And I'm with that. I am with that. I think if you sit down and you impede somebody else's ability to travel, like one of two things has to happen. The preferably, number one, is that the police officers would come and they would remove the traffic impediment, because that way the protesters know that the police officers will come and treat them with some level of moderation, because as state actors, their actions will be more under scrutiny. So it's safer for the police to come and remove these protesters. And it's safer for the citizens also, because the most of the citizens are individual actors. They don't have the power of a whole state behind them or the equipment to keep them safe. But if the police officers don't come and remove these protesters, then I am wholly in favor of individual citizens forming a posse and moving the protesters out of the street. I'm totally behind that.
But Corinna, if that happens, then there's no hope for peace in the Middle East. Right? I mean, what the protesters are doing is stopping war in the Middle East by blocking the Seattle airport. I remembered a video I saw was of the Seattle airport.
I don't understand how this follows. Can you explain the logic here?
No.
Okay. You just have to believe?
Apparently you get peace in the Middle East by blocking traffic in the United States. That's how
you do
listeners.
It. All right, listeners. The peace is dying in the Middle East, and you can only save it if you start clapping. Clap, everybody. If you want peace in the Middle East, clap. Oh, wait, I hear everybody's clapping. It's working. It's working. Clap louder. Clap harder. Peace is coming back. Oh, my gosh, there's peace. Peace has come back. You did it. You did it, listeners. That's amazing. Oh, it's incredible. Now we have peace in the Middle East.
Corinna, you are so sarcastic and facetious. First of all, we only have 14 listeners, so that's not enough.
That's all it takes.
Second of all, clapping? Are you kidding? That's not going to work. You have to do things like block traffic or throw tomato juice on valuable paintings or glue your hands to a floor in some public space. Those are effective. And clapping is ridiculous. That's just like made up stuff.
You're right. I've forgotten. Clapping is also traumatizing to people who have sensory processing issues, like those who are on the autism spectrum. They are frightened of clapping. And so You're right. I should have asked people to snap.
Yeah. Snap for peace in the Middle East.
Snap for peace.
Now, in my town, people keep swarming city council meetings to get a City of Urbana, Illinois resolution demanding a ceasefire in Israel, Palestine. That's important. Yes.
That'll do it. So. It's this. We've been talking about the gender cult for 2.5 years or 3 years. Are we on 3 years of heterodorks? I think we passed 3 years.
Yeah. We just keep aging.
So we're going into year 4.
Great. And I'm going into year 56.
Yeah. I mean, you're halfway through your life now.
More than that.
You are going to realize the curse of reaching age 112, Nina.
Oh, God. The world's going to end before then. But anyway, yes, we've been talking about gender. And?
We've been describing it as its most fervent followers as being like in a cult, like having religious fervor.
Yes.
But this movement that we've seen since October 7th, I have to say, I'm ready to believe that it eclipses the gender movement.
Well, it's mostly the same people.
It is mostly the same people. When October 7th happened, the earliest apologists for it in the United States were the number of non-binary identified people, quote unquote non-binary, were overrepresented in the group of people who were apologists for the Hamas actions of October 7th.
Yeah. One of the people locally who was most responsible, well, many people were responsible, but most responsible for canceling me. There's a video of him ripping down posters for the Israeli hostages on campus. Wow.
Did that go viral? Is that the Stop Anti-Semites?
No, it didn't go viral. I was privileged to see it, but I did not share it publicly. It probably should go viral, but you know, it'll just make him a hero locally. The mayor of Urbana said rightly that she thought that this movement to make a statement about Israel, Palestine, was going to be ineffective at doing anything except dividing the community because there are Jews in this town.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, what a shame. she was right. And it really seems like they're interested in doing that.
Yeah. This would be a follow-up from all of the resolutions condemning other types of conflicts across the world, like in Asia.
Yeah, like in China and Syria.
Right.
Yeah, they do that all the time.
Yeah.
Not.
It's just ordinary practice.
Yeah.
Hmm.
These are the people that canceled my movie, Seder Masochism, at the Art Theater. And that's extra sad now because my movie, Seder Masochism, ends with what more and more people are calling the best commentary on the situation there.
Everybody says so.
Not everybody, but a lot of people are saying that.
And it's huge.
What's huge?
Your video.
Yeah. This Land Is Mine. Maybe I'll put a link to This Land Is Mine in the show notes. But, and it's, you know, when I made Seder Masochism, I was more confidently critical of Zionism even than I am now.
Yeah, it's easy when there's nothing at stake.
Yes. but mostly, I mean, I think I took just a pretty firmly non-Zionist position. So This Land Is Mine, I got called well, the film got called Zionist Propaganda and Anti-Zionist Propaganda. Pretty balanced. Yeah. So I thought that was indicative that it was a success.
I don't think that we should just start jumping to conclusions that they're keeping the gas chambers in operable condition, Nina. That's just good governance. They're not putting anybody in them. I don't know why you're so anxious about it.
I'm missing a little bit here.
Yeah, it's okay. That's Corinna humor.
Talk about your gallows humor there.
My gallows humor.
Yeah.
My gal humor.
You put the gal in gallows with your lady with your lady flesh suit.
Oh, hey, let me hit on that topic for a second since we're just jumping left and right and front and back today. I was deposed this week for a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And it's just one of these state lawsuits things. I don't want to get too much into the details. But their attorney asked me if I consider myself a detransitioner. And I said, I don't know how to answer your question because I don't know what you mean by detransitioner. So she walked through her logic on what she thought detransition entailed. And she came around to say that she thinks that detransition is medical detransition. And that gave me an opportunity. And I guess this is maybe going back to talking about Belissa Cohen's recommendation for what I should do also, right? So let me tell you about my answer as to whether or not I consider myself a medical detransitioner. So I have taken estrogen for all of my adult life. It has caused me to grow breasts and fat distribution on my body and lack of muscle growth. I have also had a sex change surgery, so I don't have a penis or testicles, but I do have a cavity inside of my body. And inside of my mouth, I have to have that drilled next week. It's not related to my sex change, though, except that since I eat more sweets now, being on the Unix gender spectrum, of course, you know, never mind.
You eat more sweets? No, you don't.
I started eating a lot. Let's get back to that for a second, and maybe a different episode.
Okay.
I have been eating more sweets. I have to stop it, Nina.
Stop it.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, but we'll talk about that.
We'll return to that. Well, maybe just finish this thought first. Yeah. So you've been on estrogen and you have a cavity.
Yeah. God, let's move on from that. We talk about this all the time.
It's like me talking about my own past, which leads to my friend saying, oh, you should get a man, Nina. You really want a man. It's like, more medicalization, don't you, Corinna? You did all this stuff and you really regret it. You should get some more.
Well, so this is how I answered her. I said, this is my current state. So if you're talking about detransition, for me and other men that have gone through this, many of whom who've had breast implants, medical detransition would mean having breast implants removed. I don't have breast implants. I just have little socks full of rice that I put inside of my bra in order to make it look like I have breasts. It's very, very, very convincing. So even if I look naked, you'd be surprised that they're just socks. I would have to have my breasts removed. So that risks having potentially disabling surgery because it's not a risk-free surgery. So I would have to have that operation done. If I wanted to medically detransition from sex reassignment surgery, I would have to somehow have that cavity sealed and extracted and sealed and have some sort of emulation of a penis attached to my groin, which would be made from a part of my forearm or a part of my thigh to create something that resembles a penis but does not function like a penis. And then I would have to permanently take hormones because I would not be able to produce my own hormones because I've been castrated. I've had an orchiectomy. So because of all of these reasons, I'm not very compelled by medical detransition, because you cannot undo all of these things that have been, that you have had done to yourself. Let me take some personal responsibility. I've had these things done to me. There's not an undo button. So there's not really such a thing as medical detransition when you've changed your body so much. There is only further modifications. So if I had these procedures, then I would not be a masculinized man. I would be a masculinized, feminized man. All of these things layer on top of each other. There's not detransition. There's just further sex modification procedures. And I don't want to keep having sex modification procedures. So that was my answer, more or less.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you there. And how did the attorney respond?
Well, you know, she's got a big list of questions that she's supposed to ask. So she moved on to the next one. But there were other questions that she asked. And I'll tell you, anybody who has to be deposed for one of these types of scenarios, my advice is that when they come and they ask you a question like, what was your sex assigned at birth? You don't have to answer with male or female. You can answer like I did and say, I was not assigned a sex at birth. I was born male and my sex was recorded as it was observed. If somebody asks you what your gender identity is, you can make them define what they mean gender identity. If you're under deposition and a lawyer asks you a question like that, you are entitled to have an explanation about what the question is or to have the question rephrased. So if somebody wants to know what your gender identity is and you think gender identity is bogus, or if you think that the very limited academic definition of it is adequate for your purposes, but you don't want to answer it in the activist sense, go make the person asking the question define it before you're required to answer it. That's my advice.
Okay. If I'm ever deposed about gender stuff, I will keep that in mind. Now, I do keep revisiting this thing that happened a couple years ago where I went to a store and was greeted by a man that said, hi, my name is blank. I go by them, they, them pronouns, and all the ways that I could have responded to that. And the way I did respond was I said, can I just call you you? And then I wrote a thing about it, which is cited to this day as evidence of my bigotry. Because I did
cited by your family.
Yes, cited by my family as evidence and others. But I, on my bike ride today, I thought I could have responded by saying, I do not consent to this, but thanks for asking.
You don't consent to what?
I don't consent to this pronoun nonsense. I don't consent to this framing. I don't consent. I don't play this game. And I thought of using that language, just I do not consent, because these are people who they like the word consent.
Oh. So this was a woman.
No, this was a man. This was a man who was demanding something without my consent.
Men are not into that word though, Nina.
Men with they, them pronouns at least pretend to be.
Oh, no, not those ones especially are not into consent.
Well, they're not into actual consent, but they're into the word consent. They identify as being into consent.
All right.
Anyway, I should have just said, I don't consent. Like, do the role play, okay? So you say,
all right.
Hi, my...
Hi! Welcome to your local bike shop.
I never said that. I never identified it. You have to cut that out.
I didn't say you did. God, you just jumped to conclusions. You just leaped to conclusions, Nina.
I never ever... I went out of my way.
Fine. Welcome welcome to the local ice cream shop where we sell bicycle parts. My name is blank and I use they, them pronouns.
I do not consent.
Brilliant. Fucking brilliant.
Sorry. Hi, blank. I do not consent. Can I buy can I buy a tire, please? I'm just here to buy a tire.
Are you crazy? This is an ice cream shop. Was this like 2.5 years ago or 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, this is why I should just never leave the house.
Yeah. I don't think this will cause any outrage, but if it does, then I don't think there's any way to avoid outrage at all.
But I do, despite everything, I do try to, you know, protect identities. I do that.
Yes.
Not that they deserve it, not that anyone deserves it, but I still do.
Now everybody in your town will know that blank uses weird pronouns.
I'm pretty sure blank already told everybody. I'd be very surprised if blank still worked at the ice cream shop too.
I think they ought to have an ice cream shop where every ice cream has its own pronouns on it.
Pronoun swirl. Pronoun ripple.
Pronoun chunk. Can I have one scoop? I want one scoop of the Fei Femme and one scoop of the Jige, please. Wait, does the Jige have nuts? Oh, not anymore? Okay, I'll have the Jige.
Delicious. So let's talk about you're eating too many sweets. I think
salty.
I think you should get a shock collar that just gives you a shock when you eat sweets.
And, yeah, I'm not into that.
And I should have a shock collar that gives me a shock whenever I say, you know, or like.
In the first case, that's just not my thing. And in the second case, I don't know that wouldn't be lethal, Nina.
For me?
Yeah.
Because I say those words so often?
Well, it depends on the level of shock that's delivered.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, if you have a really high level of shock,
yeah,
that could be lethal. But I'm not suggesting that. This isn't the Milgram experiment.
Did you watch the debate last night?
No, I didn't even know there was a debate last night. Who was debating?
Oh my
what?
Gosh. It was Aaron Kimberly and Alice Draker with Alex Byrne and, oh my gosh, I see her Twitter handle, but that's not her name. So now I'm confused.
What's her Twitter handle?
I'm going to edit this.
Sure you are. Come on, this is the real stuff. Listeners love this. They love it. When
Holly Lawford Smith.
Oh, Holly.
But her Twitter handle is like Adichise or something.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it in my head either. We should ask her what that means. In fact,
Adichise.
I should look that up. But so how did it go?
They're all named A names, but Holly Lawford Smith is not.
How'd it go? Who won?
I don't know who won. And I only caught the last third of it. But considering that 3 out of the 4 debaters have been guests on Heterodorks, and the fourth person very likely will at some point in the future, I want to be measured in my comments. So I think I need to watch the debate one more time before I
wait a minute.
Give a lot of
feedback. Wait. It was Aaron... Which Aaron was
Kimberly.
It? Oh, it was Aaron Kimberly. Okay.
Yes.
The Aarons. There are so many. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't.
I think we'll get that Aaron at some point.
All right. Yeah, Aaron Kimberly has been
Aaron down.
Writing some provocative things lately on Twitter, on the Twitters. Yeah, okay. So you don't want to say anything about...
No.
Well, that was...
If you haven't seen it, then we should just move on.
Yeah, that was useful. Not.
Well, I got to tell you that I heard Alice Draker defend the term sex assigned at birth by saying, well, somebody had to write it down. And I thought that that was very difficult to defend as an excuse. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that was a very powerful defense of the term sex assigned at birth.
It was on brand, though, for Alice Drager.
She is definitely a queen of compromise. And there's some good stuff with that and some bad stuff with that.
All right. Well, do you recommend watching
the
video?
Everybody should go watch it, including me.
Okay. I mean, how long is it?
Like an hour and a half or so. Ugh,
okay. I guess
you could watch it at double speed.
Yeah.
Which will make Erin Kimberly sound like a woman.
Will it make Alex Burns sound like a woman?
Yes. It will make all of them sound like women.
It won't make them sound like chipmunks?
It's hard to tell the difference between a woman and a chipmunk.
It is. The woman's the one wearing a woman flesh suit. The chipmunk's wearing a chipmunk's flesh suit. No. No, wait. Sorry. Only men can wear women flesh suits.
No, women can also. It's just redundant.
Yeah. I mean, I just somehow feel like referring to one's own body as a flesh suit is, it's like, you're not wearing a woman's flesh suit. You're not even wearing a flesh suit. You have a body that thanks to chemicals.
That's a really good point. This whole problem of disembodiment that we talk about with people who seek transition, I guess it doesn't help when you characterize them as being like body snatchers.
Yeah, well, that's why I want to know more about this conception of detransition.
Yeah, well, if Melissa Cohn would like to join us on Heterodorks as a guest, she can email me, but she can't send me anything on Twitter because I blocked her.
Okay. You know, I bet she would be satisfied. She and others, well, maybe. I mean, probably nothing will satisfy her, but I do think that there are people who want you to stop using the name Corinna. And
yes, a lot of them have men's names, but are women.
Uh-huh. I know. Yeah, but that's what they want. And perhaps they also want you to, no, they probably want that, but it just seems like if you do that, like I've never gotten upset about the names. It's the pronouns. It's because the pronouns imply sex. Names.
Well, it is, I think, fair to say it is the symbolism that is the thing that they object to. So the name is symbolic, so they want the symbol smashed. Mm-hmm. They want the icons of gender identity smashed.
But I just figure, you know, I know a man named Corinna.
Yes.
Who sometimes goes by Corey, so I use both.
Yep. Well, what else, Nina? Should we talk about the Unspeakeasy any further? It was Chatham House rules. So we can talk about what we heard, but we can't talk about who said it, right?
Okay.
So I wanted to share one tableau. Is that the right term? One part of the conversation that we had, which is that I invited people to tell me what sex I am, and that all of the women, but a handful, were able to identify me as male, and that there were a couple who were not. Mm-hmm. And the ones who were not said, well, you've worked so hard to transition. I just feel like I can't call you a man anymore. Is that more or less right? I know that's not the exact phrasing, but is that basically the tone?
I guess. I mean, I stayed longer than you and just had a very intense couple of days. And so,
yeah.
different things stand out for me.
I didn't hang around out of respect for the fact that I didn't want to impose past the usefulness that I had as a speaker. I wanted to engage as a speaker, not as a participant. So I did my day and left.
Yeah. And we did some hardcore female bonding after you left. And it would have been different if you had been around.
Was there pillow fights?
There was pillow fights and manicures and pedicures.
Oh my God, I missed out.
And we talked about which boy bands were the dreamiest.
Oh, which ones are the dreamiest right now?
I can't say. I that would be a violation of
women's secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope everybody still holds John Travolta in high regard. What a hot heterosexual man.
Well, he is age appropriate for most of us.
Yeah. So I thought this was interesting that somebody who was deliberately in a space where these sort of heterodox ideas could be spoken without being shamed for them was still struggling to identify me as a man when other people in the room were able to do so without me kicking anything over and shouting at them.
Yeah. I will say that people were really good-natured at this thing. The women were really good-natured. Like, I gave some a little bit of a hard time, and it just led to interesting conversation. It didn't lead to any butthurt, and I love that. That is a mark of quality participants.
Well, I recommend the Unspeakeasy event.
Yeah. For women.
For men also, because the one in June is going to be bisexual.
Yeah, but we don't know what's going to happen. All hell could break loose. We can't recommend that one.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, it's an experiment. It's like experimental surgeries and drugs on children. It's an experimental unspeakeasy.
Oh, everything should be fine then.
That's right. We'll just massage the data. We'll just make some stuff up. And if anyone doesn't like it, we won't include them in any studies.
All right. Well, it's been a while since we've had this one-on-one episode format.
Yeah. It's the quality entertainment our listeners love.
I'm glad that we sit down before every episode and carefully plan out the content. I bet nobody realizes that we spend hours, days creating a script and we just do take after take reading it.
We spend hours and days doing totally other things.
Yes, like bicycle riding or day jobs.
Yes, having a job. All right. Well, I guess this wraps up another episode of Heterodorks. Thank you once again for listening, TERFs and Trannies. This is your TERF co-host signing off.
All right. Now that Nina's gone, I can tell you what's actually on my mind. This bitch is crazy. Oh, shit. She's going to listen to this for the show notes. All right. No, I'm stop. What? Nick, get... Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to Heterodorks. You can support us by visiting our page at anchor.fm/heterodorks or by supporting Nina Paley at patreon.com/Nina Paley. You can also support us by writing a review on your favorite podcast site, such as Apple Podcasts. Thank you.